What do we have on tap? Episode 79, the Night Living Dreads podcast. Let me tell you, we got a Tinder date going horribly wrong. We also have the butcher, the baker, no candlestick maker. We're talking the butcher baker, Robert Hansen, here on Night Living Dreads podcast. Let's get it going.
Hi, this is David Howard Thornton, but you might know me as Art the Clown from the movie Terrifier, and you're listening to the Night of the Living Dreads podcast. Kill you later.
That's right. Episode 79.
Yep.
I can't wait to get to 100. Still haven't decided what the hell to do on a 100th episode. Welcome, everyone. I'm Otis B. Dreads, and of course, we have Mrs. Dreads, as you heard. How are you, Mrs. Dreads?
I'm good.
Awesome. And we've been sitting here talking serial killers before we started recording and drinking some coffee. You're getting your monster on.
Mm-hmm.
You're trying to wake up. Been a long day. You were off today, weren't you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, but you've been doing a lot of housework, so she needs that little pep in her step. So do I. Drinking some coffee. Trying to get ready for this. We're going to talk we got an article, of course, mm-hmm. as we always do. Here lately I've been just trying to get loose with an article, and then we get into our main topic, which this week is going to be the butcher baker, Mr. Robert Hansen, going way up north to Alaska. I should have had that on cue.
Oh, my Jesus.
I wasn't even thinking about that. I got this great piece of equipment here that I could just hit a fucking button. Bam, there it is. I don't even do it. I didn't even think about it until right now because this is really not scripted, as everyone knows. So welcome to the podcast, everyone. Dreadhead, you can hear this podcast as well as all of our past podcasts over there at nightlivingdreads.com, over there on Stitcher, over there on Spotify. We also have a Facebook group and page that this podcast will be posted on. So, I'm kind of looking into other podcast platforms to, try and spread Night of the Living Dreads a little far and wide. I do want to put this out there. I was going to make a post about this, actually. I don't have the time, nor do I have I guess you could say talent when it comes to doing video type deals, maybe YouTube, things like that. So I want to put a shout out to any dreadhead that would like to maybe help the podcast go in different directions, such as YouTube. We have a channel, we just don't have any fucking content. But just want to, if anybody is willing to, help the podcast out, that would be greatly appreciated. Yep. We both work our asses off, so there's not a whole lot of time to, take and say. And plus, we're old.
Yeah.
So everything hurts.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of hurting, let's jump right in. Here's an article. Okay, it comes from the Washington Post. She went on a Tinder date. She ended up dismembered.
Yep.
Police say. Let's talk a little bit about this. What did you think about this article, Mrs. Dredge? And of course, this is going. Now, this was actually a couple years ago. This mm-hmm. is not very recent. This actually June 13, 2018. So just a little over 2 years, but still an interesting case, and it's still ongoing.
Right.
They're still, you know, doing some shit about it. What'd you think about this? Why don't you take us through, you know, I guess what happened that night? Because we don't need to read it verbatim. We're going to post this in the description of the podcast. Tell us about this story.
Well, Sydney Loof, she had a Tinder date with a Bailey. I have to think what her last name, Bailey Boswell.
Boswell, yes.
Which was actually another female. They had decided to meet up. Ended up back at her apartment.
Isn't Tinder more like where you hook up site. Just to kind of fuck?
No, it's a dating site.
But I mean,
a lot of people probably do, but don't you think they do that with most sites?
Well, sure, you can do that in a fucking bar, but, you know, I just thought Tinder was more like, okay, we're hooking up for a one-night stand kind of
thing. No, it's a dating site.
Okay, all right, gotcha, all right.
So she goes back to Bailey Boswell's apartment, who also has Bailey's boyfriend living there.
Right, and her boyfriend, his name is Aubrey. Aubrey. Yeah.
Trail?
Trail, yes. I hit the wrong button. Aubrey Trail is Bailey Boswell's
boyfriend. Right.
Bailey is the one that
went on the Tinder
date. Contacted for the Tinder date. And so they go back to the apartment, and
It was supposed to be a sexual fantasy thing. Trail that he wanted a threesome. So.
Okay, he wanted two chicks. Okay, I get that. That's normal. I mean, because, well, we got Sydney. She's what, 24 years old, mm-hmm. right? Now, the other ones are right around that age. One is like 19, I think. Is that what it is? Aubrey, let's see. I don't have their damn age here. I know Sydney was 24. So, you know, probably right around that age, the other two were. And guess what? Some went horribly fucking wrong.
From the way he looks in the picture on the article, though, he looks older than 24.
Okay, so he may be, what, closer to, what, 30
or something?
He's
got, like, a receding hairline. And
oh, well, that can be. You can have that in your early 20s. I've had friends that, you know, so that really doesn't say much.
Oh, no. Like, he's got the bad receding hairline where... Like the top patch
he
of his hair is going bald.
Okay, he looks aged.
He looks probably, he could probably be in his 40s.
Wow. Okay. And so what happened once Sydney got to this apartment with, she already knew what the expectation was to fulfill some kind of sexual fantasy.
Right.
And she was willing to go for it. And Bailey's apartment, Bailey and Aubrey's apartment, okay, that was down in the basement of this apartment building, correct? I think that's where they said Bailey's apartment was.
They just said that there was a call to the police department of a strong smell coming from the basement.
Right, right. And
bleach smell.
I'm looking. Yeah, I could have sworn I seen that's where. Because they got there and they thought, oh, it was just, you know, people, you know, they're washing the walls or some shit.
That they had just washed the walls.
With bleach. So that explained, you know, the bleach smell. In the basement. It was in the basement where Boswell lived with her boyfriend, Aubrey Trail. So they lived down there. So they didn't get rid of, you know, I guess that bleach smell was, you know, what from maybe the, you know, puke or, you know, you defecate yourself, well, you know, at the point of death.
Well, they chopped her up. So
well,
they had to clean up all that mess.
Well, they fucking chopped her ass up, too. So you have all the blood.
Right.
Okay. Now, why did they do this? How did this go so wrong?
It doesn't say in the article exactly.
Well, just give us an overview of what you read and what you take from this article, how everything went down. Because it seems like, okay, man, we're going to join up. Man, we're going to have a threesome, bam, two chicks, woo, party.
Don't know, kind of confused. Don't know if it's the fact that it was, things got out of hand during the act that, because she died of suffocation.
Right.
He strangled her with a extension cord.
Right. So maybe like a fantasy, you know, how some would
SM
strangle
stuff.
Themselves, you know, and as they're, you know, having,
I mean,
an
it could
orgasm,
be something like that,
some weird,
because he states later on in the article about how he took complete blame for it. He admitted to doing it. And they are saying that they're, putting out there the death penalty for this. And he's saying that he's okay with that.
He
wants, he wants the death penalty because he figures a life for a life. So then you kind of think that, okay, maybe he didn't do it on purpose. Maybe it was an accident. But then they also got video surveillance footage from Home Depot of them buying things that they used to dismember her body.
Wow.
So
was it a DeWalt? What brand was it?
I don't know, but they're both, both Bailey and Aubrey are both, they're both seeking the death penalty.
Wow.
Pretty strange shit.
Yeah. They're very, and it's, you know, it's still kind of ongoing, only because they haven't reached, you know, this, you know, when you have somebody saying, yeah, go ahead, death penalty, life for a life, bring it the fuck on. Okay, this went horribly wrong. I'm to blame for what I did.
Oh,
I deserve to die. So are you saying in your, I guess, understanding of this case, just through this article, do you think that he's innocent? Or do you think that he is guilty, just kind of playing that psycho role? Or,
I don't know.
Or, are you just on the fence as far as that goes?
Well, I kind of think that they're guilty because why would you go to Home Depot and buy stuff that you know you're going to use to?
But the actual act of taking the life maybe was in a weird sexual type shit where, you know, they're tied up. They didn't have any fucking rope.
Right.
So they use a fucking extension cord. She ended up fucking suffocating and dying, okay, but it wasn't on purpose.
But if they would have went to Home Depot after they killed her and then bought the stuff.
Was before?
No, they went to Home Depot before the actual tender date.
Oh. Okay. Now I was completely, because I have to admit, I read about 3/4 of this article. You went through the entire article. Mm-hmm. I went about 3/4 of the article and then, you know, started setting shit up. So that's interesting. That brings a whole new fucking way of thinking about this, okay, as far as his purpose,
right.
Their purpose, and why. I mean, I wonder if they've connected. I need to look more into this, and I want to thank one of our Dreadhead listeners, Miss Amy Russell, for throwing us this article. We like to start out with an article, you know, to, you know, get warmed up and whatnot, and then get into our main shit. But I would love to know where this stands right now.
Well, you also hear those couples who the guy kills for the girl because she wants him to, and then he takes all the blame for it,
right.
Like she didn't do anything, which is exactly what they're saying here.
That's what it sounds like.
He's saying
sure.
that she didn't have that it was him, that it wasn't her,
right.
And stuff, but yet she's getting charged just as severe as he
well,
is.
Well, sure.
Which she should be.
I agree.
She lured her back there, and
yep.
She let it happen, and she helped him dismember her body, because they found her in trash bags scattered on a gravel
road in, like, southeastern fucking Nebraska or some shit.
Yeah.
So I closed out of my article because that's horrible. I mean, and so it's, you know, but what makes me this article, and I hope you dreadheads take and you know, maybe look into this, because, you know, if you're into true crime as me and Mrs. Dreads are, then this should be something that, you know, you're kind of looking into and checking out. What was the motive behind this? There had to have been some kind of personal fucking, you know, deal. Or was it just, like you said, Ms. Dredd, the girl, you know, is like, yeah, you know, or maybe the guy was like, yeah, kill, we need to kill this bitch, right? Lure her in. You be the bait. Bring her in.
Right.
And we're going to take her out. Or was it just innocent? In the sense of just some weird sexual fetishes and type thing. Yeah, I mean, you know. So, yeah, it's pretty interesting, article, to say the least.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but we have something even more interesting. We're going to talk a little bit about Robert Hansen. I know this has been talked about. I listened to a few podcasts earlier during the day at work about Robert Hansen, and he's been done. Mm-hmm. He's not, you know, what you would say up there with like a Dahmer when you think serial
killers.
Well,
he stayed out of the limelight.
He really did.
That was one of, for him to give up information, that was one of the deals, is that he was kept out of the public eye.
And his family as well. Yes. So. That was the deal to keep him from, you know, being, capital punishment, which they didn't have up there, way up north. To Alaska. That's where we're going right after this little break. Go check out our good friends over there, TrueCrime7.store, TrueCrime7.com.
If you're anything like me, you are a huge fan of true crime and dark humor merchandise. Otis B. Dredd's here to tell you about the best place to get all of your true crime and dark humor swag. That's right, TrueCrime7.com. Dot store, true crime, spell out 7, SEVEN dot store, the only place you need to go for true crime and dark humor. I'm going to tell you what, this place has some really, the great prices, you can't beat their prices, 30-day money-back guarantee if you are not happy, and I guarantee you will be. Free shipping on order, $75 and up, 24-hour online support. What kind of stuff can you get, Otis, you may be asking? You can get t-shirts, you can get hoodies, coffee mugs, cutting boards, posters, pillows. And if you search for them over there on Amazon, you can also check out their reading material. That's right, they publish books as well. Stay up to date with all the new merchandise and great deals on all their products. Follow them on Facebook, follow them on Twitter, sign up for their newsletter and get all the latest info about new products. Tell you what, you are not going to regret going to TrueCrime7.store, and at the checkout, don't forget promo code NLD to get you a 10% discount on your entire order. That's right, TrueCrime7, SEVEN.store. Tell them Otis sent you, and remember, stay curious, keep it creepy. Don't get murdered. Don't you dare get fucking murdered. We're back. That's right. TrueCrime7.store, TrueCrime7.com. They didn't have the .com up there. I should actually update this that little promo there for our good friends, TrueCrime7.store and .com. I've actually got a serial killer coloring book from them, as well as our dear friends Van and Trisha over there at Misfit Horror Fiend Club. They also sent me me and Mrs. Dredd's a serial killer coloring book. Haven't colored in any yet. Have you, Mrs. Dredd's?
No.
No. She had a phone call. And now she's back. Are you good now?
I'm good.
Okay. All right.
You just wanted to know if I was at work.
Oh, no. No, yeah, you are working on podcast. All right, we're talking Robert Christian Hansen.
Yep.
Tonight. You don't hear a whole lot. When you think of Alaska, when you say that, first thing, it usually pops in everybody's heads, fucking Eskimos and shit.
Yeah.
You know, they don't even think, I can remember growing up not even thinking, like, Alaska had, like, civilized fucking people. Like they didn't have societies like we did in the suburbs and the big cities and whatnot. You know, they were just, you know, everybody lived in fucking igloos.
That's what you think of.
Right, exactly.
But it's not
that's
like
how,
that.
Oh, right, that's how I always thought. Who would have ever thought that a business owner, which, and we hear this a lot when we talk serial killers, it just seems to be their MO. We're talking about a business owner.
Mm-hmm.
He owned a fucking bakery.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he made donuts for the same fucking concept.
And he was a well-known baker.
Very well-known.
I mean, people flocked to his actual bakery.
Exactly. Kind of like we have a place like that.
Bill's Donuts.
It Bill's, yes. I just did some floors back there. I could go there and probably get some free food.
I'll shut up because you go back there every day and don't bring me donuts.
Well, I don't
ever
go there.
But you go past there.
Sometimes.
Every day.
Not every day.
Every day.
No, I don't go back
there.
No,
only if you don't go to Centerville.
Anyway, that is a place. We have a place like that. Yes. So I can understand, you know, the position that he's in. He's loved by the community. He has a very thriving business, which he got from his dad.
Mm-hmm.
His dad also opened up a bakery. But I think that was back in Pocahontas.
Yeah, that was he didn't get the bakery
that
from
was
his
in
dad.
Iowa?
Right. He used the $13,000 he got for an insurance scam.
Yeah, he did a little bit of fraud.
Because he couldn't get a loan.
Hey, man, no, you're going to get a fucking loan.
Like, so his trophies were stolen.
And he stole his own shit.
Put it in his backyard.
Said, I found it.
They found it, and he said, oops, I found it and forgot to tell the insurance company.
Right. Now, I have a little video that I would like to go through. Yeah. I think it's pretty interesting. These are, and you hear 15. I love lists. I love doing this on the podcast, going through and like having these lists. And this one is 15 disturbing facts about the butcher baker, Robert Hansen. And a lot of them that we're going to talk about, because after this, we are going to get into, you know, some detail. You know how we do it here, you dreadheads. So, you know, you want an in-depth, you know, discussion about this. You've come to
say
the
in-depth.
In-depth.
Oh.
In death.
Is it in death?
You're morbid. Whatever. So, all right. Let's do this. And let's see what happens. All right. There we go.
15 disturbing facts about the butcher baker Robert Hansen. Number 15. He died in prison. After hearing
disturbing?
About his decade-long murder spree, jury
right.
sentenced Hansen to 461 years plus life in jail in 1984. He lived out the rest of his life in a series of state prisons. He started out in Pennsylvania, but in 1988 he was moved back to Alaska, where he would spend the rest of his life. In 2014, at the ripe old age of 75, Hansen's health declined so much he was moved one more time to the Anchorage Correctional Complex, where he finally passed away from lingering medical issues. Number 14. His case set a precedent for profiling. Remember, when Hansen was being investigated by the FBI, it was the early 80s and there hadn't been much faith placed in profiling killers yet. That all changed when John Douglas jumped onto the case. Douglas was an FBI profiler who literally wrote the book on understanding the psyche of a killer. According to the official story, when Hansen's crimes were described to Douglas, he not only knew Hansen had a stutter, but he would have a trophy room in his house. It took a while, but thanks to Douglas's tireless work, the police were able to attain a search warrant for Hansen's house based on his research, which...
All right, here's the thing. This guy right here. This guy's
the
FBI
profiler.
Okay. I know they probably, I had to step away from the mic for a second, so I don't know if I missed it, you know, exactly, okay, that he profiled Hansen. They didn't have a person, they didn't have anybody. All they knew is that it was more than likely, because they had at least a couple victims that had a .223 slug in them from a particular
from a
rifle.
14.
A Mini 14 rifle. Is that what it's called?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so they knew they found two victims with this same slug. So they pretty much had to assume this was done by one person.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, with the same fucking rifle. And... this guy comes along, and he does the normal, okay, all right, this guy's probably a loner. You know, your stereotypical profiling of a serial killer. Okay, probably had mommy and daddy issues, whatever, okay. Then he comes up and says, and he may even stutter. How the fuck does that even come into the profile of somebody you're trying to, you know, come about with a profile of somebody who has just committed, like, really heinous fucking acts? What the fuck does stuttering have to do? It's just amazing that this guy came up, and that's exactly what happened, because Hansen was a stutter.
which was the first time a warrant was awarded based on a profile. Number 13.
So that was like a first. That was a first.
Yeah, because he was already a person of interest.
Yes.
Because before he came into the picture, you had, I can't remember what her name is, the one who got away. She had already gotten away by now.
I can't remember her name, right?
And she had already went to the police and gave them a lot of information about what his house looked like.
The inside.
What his vehicle was, what the inside of his vehicle looked like.
She even saw the particular rifle.
She left her shoes in the back seat of his car just so she could prove that she had actually been there.
That is crazy. I mean, this girl, you talk about a determination. You know, being determined, you know, to escape somebody who you know is going to kill you at some point.
Right.
And you think about leaving your shoes in his car to prove, yes, because you believe you're a prostitute.
Right.
This was a prostitute that you were talking about because he picked her up.
Because she offered him a blowjob for like $100.
Wow.
Yeah.
She must have one golden lips right there.
But he told her he'd pay it.
And then
of course he didn't.
Right.
As soon as she got in the car, he pulled a gun on her.
Right.
Handcuffed her to the car.
Yep.
And then got her to his house.
Raped her and tortured her multiple times.
Decided to take her to his cabin. He said he was going to take her to his cabin.
He had a secluded cabin that he had to use his private plane.
Yeah, that the only way you could get there was by plane or boat.
Right. She knew that it was a one-way fucking trip at that point.
So when he got out to load stuff into the plane while he was loading stuff, she had the opportunity because she was down on her all fours. So she climbed over the front into the front seat, got out, and took off. He took off chasing her. Luckily, she had made it to the street and had flagged a truck down.
Mm-hmm.
And the truck picked her up.
Took her to a local motel type deal. And then that's
she
the
told him.
Came.
Well, yeah, because she told him to call her boyfriend, who was at another motel, and the truck driver just took off down the road back to work. But he called the police while he was there and said that he had left the girl there.
Right.
Police got there. She wasn't there. She'd went to another hotel where her boyfriend was staying, and so they went there. When they got there, she was there alone, still handcuffed.
Mm-hmm. They were able to get the handcuffs off. Probably like a universal key or some shit.
So then they took her to the police station, got all the information from her. They went and searched him. Well, they went to his house. He had an alibi.
Yeah.
Some friends lied for him.
Yeah. Well, that's what friends do.
Yeah.
Right. Here we go. We're at number 13. The butcher baker has a favorite weapon. Now we're going to get into the weapon, which... kind of pegged him, even though the cops didn't know who it was, pegged these murders as a serial killer type murder. That's what they were dealing with, and this is why.
The butcher baker had a favorite weapon. One of Hansen's undoings was that he used the same weapon on every single one of his kills. By making use of the .223 Mini 14 rifle he so loved, Hansen unknowingly made it a cakewalk for the FBI to draw a straight line from his kills to his home.
He didn't fucking hide it. He really did. He didn't go down there and try to get the slug out of him. They found him at multiple fucking grave sites.
What he would do is he would because they say that he would hunt them down.
Exactly.
And that's probably why he was saying that he was taking her to the cabin. Because it was in the woods.
Right.
So he very likely did do that. And then...
But he's never... Out of all the things that he's admitted to doing...
Right.
He has never admitted to sending these girls off running in the woods like they're going to get away. And he takes pot shots.
But where did they get that from?
Who got that?
But any place that states it.
Well, you know, I mean, you can make any fucking thing up.
Right.
Okay.
But, I mean, every source that you read says that he did that.
It does. There's a lot of documentaries that, you know, they're called, you know, the Hunter or something.
Right.
Something along those lines. So I can believe that he did
something.
Yeah, because
he was an avid hunter.
And he was an award-winning hunter.
Right.
I mean, for years on end up in Alaska. That's why he initially moved to Alaska from Iowa, because of the hunting. He spent most of his time. Yeah, he spent most of his time in the fucking wilderness, just shooting shit.
So I mean,
so it does make sense.
Him the hunter, them his prey.
Yes, right. So it makes sense. It makes sense. Well, let's see what they got to say.
He was already going down, but if Hansen had switched things up every once in a while, he probably could have avoided arrest for at least a few more days. Number 12. Like any good hunter, he loved trophies. Once again, Hansen's profile aligns perfectly with that of your run-of-the-mill serial killers. Even though he was taking women in the wilderness and burying them in shallow graves, after he was finished with them, he still kept some of their jewelry as a trophy. Not only did he have actual trophy mounts from animals in his den, but he kept trophies from all of his human kills in his basement. One of the items, a fish necklace belonging to victim Andrea Altieri, was one of the most significant items in securing his arrest. Number 11. He left no evidence after he murdered women. When it came...
Well, no, that's a lie.
He left the slugs.
He left the fucking slugs, which initially... That and I wish I had her name. I was looking for it as that last little clip was playing. The name of the girl who did end up getting away right before, as he was getting shit ready to fly on the plane, go to his remote cabin, and probably murder this young girl. She also, okay, being a prostitute, in the cops' eyes, she was not looked at as, you know, very credible. Okay, you sell your pussy. Yeah, I said it. You sell your pussy on the street. Cops and prostitutes never got along. This was one point in history where in Anchorage, Alaska, the cops and the prostitutes were kind of working together to catch this guy, because he frequent, you know, he liked the prostitutes. He liked the strip clubs. It wasn't all prostitutes. There was, you know, a lot of strippers, a lot of, you know, dancers in these strip clubs and whatnot, but pretty much that was his clientele. But this girl provided so much to the cops that they found out was very, very fucking credible.
Right.
That was the trophies on the wall, the bust of all these animals and these award-winning kills that he fucking had. And he also kept jewelry as it, you know, came to, you know, be of his victims. So she turned out to be very credible.
Her name's Cindy Paulson.
Sydney Paulson.
Cindy.
Yeah. Cindy. Oh, I thought you said Cindy. Never mind. All right. Cindy Paulson. Number 11 on the list. He left no evidence after he murdered women, which I said, you know, was already bullshit. He at least left the fucking slugs.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That's not good.
Came to Hansen's rape victims. He always let them go free after threatening them profusely. He knew in the 70s and 80s in Alaska, no cop would believe a prostitute or stripper over a respectable businessman.
Now, that makes sense. That makes sense why he would think that.
Right.
Okay. He's respectable in the community. He's involved in his fucking church. He's got a, you know, a very good, respectable business in Anchorage.
Right.
And has a good reputation with the fucking cops.
Mm-hmm.
Now you got this streetwalker. Yeah.
Yep.
I can see where he thought that.
Man. But when Hansen murdered someone, he made sure to cover his tracks. The most glaring example of this has happened in 1980, when shot the dog of a woman he murdered on the off chance that the dog would lead someone to her shallow grave.
That is just weird, though, right? I mean, you're trying to cover your tracks.
So he shoots the dog?
Huh?
So he shot the dog?
Right.
To cover his tracks.
Right. I mean, that's just brutal. That is no fucks given right there.
Number 10. Hansen was the definition of a regular guy.
This I think is probably the biggest one in this whole bunch. Okay, because you talk about a lot of these serial killers. There's some that, you know, well, they were just, you know, they were part of their local church. They were so well respected in their community. They were just a regular guy. They didn't look like a monster. This guy, he doesn't. He's got like the typical 1960s, you know, glasses, almost like the
said he was what, the perfect dork?
Yeah, the perfect dork is what is how was it Cindy?
Cindy.
That's how she described him, as the perfect dork. Yes, exactly right. He's got the same glasses that Kirk Douglas wore in my God, what was the name of that movie? It was right on the tip of my tongue.
There he goes, Postal.
Yeah.
What is the name of that
movie? I don't know. It was right on, but they're same glasses. Just the perfect guy, you know. You never would have thought this, business owner.
This is an all too common comment about serial killers, but according to everyone who knew Robert Hansen, he was just a regular guy. When he was growing up, he had terrible acne that ended up scarring his face, which supposedly gave him a shy demeanor, but other than that, he had the classic baby boomer look of a man whom you wouldn't glance twice at on the street. In fact, he was so average that one of his rape victims reported he sort of looked like the perfect dork.
The perfect dork. There you go.
Yep.
There you go. He was just the perfect fucking dork. He was not threatening. He was not imposing. And that was kind of how Edmund Kemper was as well. But Edmund Kemper was like, I don't know, 1,000 feet tall. He was like a giant. You know what
right.
I mean? But he even with his size, he did not seem imposing to some of his victims.
Well, most of them didn't. Think about it.
Right.
Ted Bundy.
Very true. He was
a lot of women were attracted to him.
Yes, yes.
I mean, the only one who really kind of maybe, Jeffrey Dahmer. He was kind of a weird one.
Dahmer kind of had that fucking look. I mean,
he acted creepy when he went to play.
He did, man. I can just see him always acting creepy. I don't know if I'd want to be around somebody that just, you know, I would think acted like Dahmer.
I wouldn't.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? But this guy, Hansen, on the other end, you know, He doesn't put that out. He doesn't put that vibe out. That
just an ordinary guy.
Yeah.
Well, think about it. Think of Ed Gein.
Ed Gein, yeah. He was kind of like socially retarded.
Yeah.
You know, but he was such a nice guy, handyman around his little, you know, area and shit. And everybody just seeing him as just this old feeble, you know, little guy just doing little, you know, handyman work around town, you know, and just trying to keep his fucking house going after his mother died and shit, not knowing that he's fucking killing people and making lampshades out of their fucking heads.
And masks.
And masks and gloves. And
nipple belts.
I want a
That's
nipple
so
belt.
Gross.
Why would you not
That's
want a nipple
disgusting.
Belt?
It's just disgusting. That's so disgusting.
A nipple belt. Come on.
Oh, and the name of that movie is Falling Down. And it's
Michael Douglas. I said Kirk Douglas. Yeah, Michael Douglas. But that's kind of glasses that he's wearing. You know, that's almost what he kind of seems like.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Let's listen some more.
Number 9. Even a crazed maniac has to have a day job.
You got that right.
Even though Hansen was obsessed with hunting women and collecting the trophies of his kill, he knew that he had to keep up appearances as to not be discovered. In the 70s, he opened a bakery in a downtown Anchorage mini mall, and after the discovery of his crimes, he earned the name the Butcher Baker. How does a convicted felon who burned down a building get a business loan? He doesn't. Instead, Hansen opened his business using $13,000 from the insurance settlement of a false burglary perpetrated on his home, where he stole his own hunting trophies. Later.
Come on, that's funny. He stole his own shit.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't even seem fucking possible. How do you steal your own shit? Aren't you just... if stealing your own shit is just basically relocating your shit.
What he did.
So he relocated his shit.
So he could claim it on insurance. So,
and then grabbed $13,000 worth of what? He said, what was it? Trophies? Just, you know, the busts of all these animals, these award-winning animals.
I'm assuming.
Right. That's the only thing I can think of, because that's
whatever
all
trophies he got for it.
Right. Or actual trophies.
Right.
Right.
Well, it had to be something that's worth $13,000.
Well, sure. And apparently a lot of it. Then they all end up in his fucking backyard.
Yep.
He steals his own shit. And then gets $13,000 from fucking insurance.
Yeah, that's why he did it. Commit insurance fraud.
Right, and use that to take and open up his fucking bakery and sell donuts to cops. Let us continue.
When they were discovered in his home, he claimed he found them in his backyard sometime after the events of the theft. Number 8. Hansen was an incredibly adept hunter. If there was a guy who you didn't want chasing you through the Alaskan wilderness, it was Robert Hansen. He was so good at hunting that in 1969, 1970, and 1971, he had 4 animals entered into the Pope and Young record book. After his arrest, the folks from Pope and Young said that Hansen's crimes didn't invalidate his bow hunting records, but they...
Bow hunting.
Mm-hmm.
How hard is it to bow hunt? Your dad is a bow hunter. He has done mm-hmm. some bow hunting in his days. He likes to shoot bow. Do you know anything about bow hunting versus hunting with a rifle? Do you know anything about it? I know
there's no real difference.
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, it's just you using a bow.
Your aim has to be a little more accurate.
Right, right. Just, I don't know if you know anything, because I don't know anything about bow hunting. You've shot bows before.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, we did in Colorado, actually. We went to
I didn't.
That. Well, you didn't. I did. I didn't do too bad either.
No, you and Haley didn't do it bad at all.
No. So this guy's getting awards, Hansen. He's getting awards for bow hunting. He's got all of these trophies that, you know, I don't know how they would figure out the financial benefit, you know, of these, you know, worth, I should say, of these trophies. Maybe going along with some prize that maybe they had won, maybe won $2,000, you know, and this fucking head of this thing. I don't know.
But they're not going to pay you insurance on money that you've already gotten.
Well, true. Spent. Right. Yeah. I don't know how.
So there had to have been something with those trophies.
Right. So, yeah, he, now he's getting, he's got $13,000. He opens up, you know, fucking bakery. So it's here. And he was we're at number 8, by the way. He was a really, really good hunter. And mm-hmm. very well known in that community as that kind of guy.
They finally acquiesced and removed his name from their record books. Number 7. The oil industry gave Hansen most of his victims.
And this is a really big point right here. Although mm-hmm. it's almost like they're blaming the oil industry. It's like, if it wasn't for the oil industry, you know, blah, blah, blah.
I'm sure
blah.
He would have found a way if the oil industry hadn't got there.
He would have. He's evil.
He was too determined.
Exactly. He's fucking evil, so he would have found a way. But this does make sense. It did flood the streets with, you know, possible victims for this sick bastard.
How did the construction of the 800-mile oil pipeline in the 1970s ensure that Hansen had a healthy supply of victims? With the influx of oil workers flush with cash, Anchorage was engulfed with prostitutes looking to get a cut of that disposable income. Due to
right, and that's what it was. You have this pipeline going through Alaska, okay, and you know, around this certain area, that's going to bring in a lot of mail. Workers, you know, maybe transients, you know, that, I mean, Anchorage at that point was, you know, known for having, you know, just, you know, wanderers and, you know, transients, you know, just wandering around, and they'd make some money and then boom, they're gone. They go somewhere else, you know, Seattle, some say they go, you know, out to, Honolulu and Hawaii and shit. And just, you know, they make a bunch of money there, you know, prostituting around, dancing, stripping, and then they take off.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't uncommon. So now you have a flood of these, you know, hookers and wannabe dancers and whatnot in flooding the streets in Anchorage because they have an influx of male mm-hmm. workers working on this pipeline, maybe, you know, working away from home, you know, they're out of their comfort zone, whatever. They need some loving.
Easy money.
They need some fucking loving. And so that's what Hansen had to fucking work with. And that's why they're saying that it kind of, it helped him.
Right.
In a sense, you know, not that, you know, that was to blame for, you know, all the horrible shit he did.
The transient manner of many of the people who passed through Anchorage at this time, no one batted an eye when they disappeared. Glenn Flothe, one of the state troopers.
And we've heard it. We've heard that what he just said. We've heard that said a lot when we talk about serial killers. We talk about serial killers. You know, it's like this guy. And I heard it in a podcast. And as soon as I heard the guy say it, I was like, "Yes, it's exactly who I thought of, the Green River Killer."
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's who this reminds me of, because not all of his victims were prostitutes. There was a good portion of them
right. That
were prostitutes, but there were dancers and, you know, just...
Yeah, because the first couple ones he killed weren't
right
prostitutes.
Exactly. So, you know, and they all came, I think, from this one particular strip where, you know, I mean, you could get your drugs, you get your porno,
right. You know,
your strip clubs, you can get your whores on the street, street walkers and shit. You could get that there. And that's where he went.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, let's listen more. You got anything to add to that?
Mm-mm.
All right, let's go.
Neighbors who helped put the butcher baker behind bars told the Anchorage Daily News in 2008 that initially Hansen killed anyone who piqued his fancy, but he quickly realized strippers and prostitutes were easier prey.
Nobody cares about them. That was the thing.
Well, it's the fact that they said, too, like, they said down there on the pipeline, you have so many people coming and going
right. At
such a rate that they didn't bat an eye when these people started missing because they just assumed that they just left.
Yeah, yeah. Because a lot of them did just leave. You know, it was very easy to be a missing person
right. In
Anchorage, you know, at that time, because there was a lot of in and out, you know, I mean... You know, girls come here, guys go, you know, go there looking to try and make some money, and then boom, they fucking disappear.
They stop and make money just long enough to get to their next destination.
Exactly, right. And that was a common thing. So when there was a missing person, you know, report being phoned mm-hmm. into the fucking police, they didn't really take it all that seriously. They're like, they probably just took off.
Right.
They probably just left. That's what they do here. This isn't, you know, really some place where people just, like, want to live here. Maybe some do.
I would want to live in Anchorage.
I wouldn't mind. Yeah.
I'd live in Alaska.
I wouldn't mind, yeah. It seems like a very, it's very pretty. I've seen some pictures there. But, of course, it's like any other city. And this is the dark side of that city.
Right.
This is that street that, you know, has all the bad shit. Has all the heroin.
Mm-hmm.
Has all the fucking coke, has all this, has all the pills, has all the drugs, has all the prostitutes, has all the bad things, I guess. You know, well.
Shit, you find that everywhere anymore.
Right. I feel like a hypocrite calling it bad things.
Yeah.
Although I've never had a hooker.
Me neither.
Yeah. What? Oh man! All right, let's get through some more of this. This is great. All right, we got about 10 minutes left. I think we can make it through. Hold on.
Number six, he burned down a school bus garage. Hansen wasn't always a guy who kidnapped women, and
he was an arsonist.
Yeah,
he was what, like 18?
I think so.
He was like 18 because one podcast I was listening to earlier. And I like listening to other podcasts, but they said he was 18, but one report said that he did it while he was in school, so we don't know, you know, was...
He could have been 18, still in school.
Well, right, I guess, you know, depending on his birthday was in February.
He could still be 18 and still be in school.
So, right, so, you know, they just didn't know if he was actually enrolled in school at that time, or if he was out of school when he was 18 when he did this, but he burns down a fucking, was it a school bus?
It was a garage.
Oh, the garage. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Here we go. Let's listen to this.
And hunted them to death in Alaska. Prior to moving to the last frontier, Hansen lived in Iowa, where he supposedly felt he was abused by the people of his small town. Because of that, he forced a 16-year-old employee at the bakery to help him burn down the school bus garage. The teen dropped the dime on him, and Hansen ended up serving 20 months of a 3-year prison sentence. It's possible that while he was in the clink, he decided to start killing people for sport, or maybe he just decided to get out of Iowa.
All right, let's see. That's where this particular video, which I think is done okay, all right? But this is where nobody knows for sure. It's not a fucking fact. He has never said it himself.
That he hunted.
That he hunted these girls, okay, or his victims. Put them out there, let them run. Like, we've seen the movies, okay? We've seen the movies where, you know, people or group of kids are put into a situation where they have to, you know, they're being hunted, you know, for sport, okay? Because that's pretty much every fucking, you know, slasher movie. Really, you're being hunted. But this one for sport.
But I mean, I could see him doing it, though.
I can, too.
I mean, it's not something that's
right. It's not
implausible.
Right, I mean,
he was an avid hunter.
Implausible? Is that a word?
Well, it is now.
It is now.
But, I mean, he was an avid hunter.
Sure.
He won awards for it. That was something that he enjoyed doing. That was the whole purpose of him going to Alaska.
And why would he do that to these girls? Well, for one, he grew up kind of rejected by them because he had, you know, some acne issues.
He stuttered.
He was a pizza face that stuttered. He was socially awkward.
Super shy.
Super shy. Didn't have a whole lot of fucking self-esteem.
Diagnosed with borderline. Bipolar.
Diagnosed with bipolar. I mean,
schizophrenic episodes.
He had some issues going on there.
But I think, I honestly think he probably did do that. That he did hunt them. It would be a hunter-prey thing, and that
right.
would give him power.
And
that would give
exactly
him control.
What it is, right? That's why I can believe that he did this. Although all I'm saying is there is no evidence at this point,
right,
that is a factual statement.
And there probably
that
never
he
will be.
Did that, right? Right? Because he has never admitted to any of that. He has never said yes. I took them out in the middle of nowhere in the wilderness. I knew where I was.
Right.
He knew where he was, okay, when he took them out there. He had a cabin out there. He knew where the fuck he was.
But see, he was so unpublicized that, like, a lot of people have never heard of him. He's so unpublicized, there's no
actual... Are you trying to
actual...
use big words? Shut unpublicized?
Up.
What does that even mean?
That is never been published. Nothing about him's ever, like, no interviews.
I'm just fucking
No, nothing has
right.
ever been published of
exactly.
him because he didn't want that.
Right.
That was his plea bargain, was that he would not be put in the public eye for any of this stuff. So who's to say that he didn't tell somebody that this is what he did?
No.
Because nobody knows if it
was
said.
What?
It could have been.
You know what, Jody? I'll give you that. That's a damn good fucking argument, you know, with what I said. I agree 110%. Yes, he did not want, you know, to be out there in, you know, in the spotlight, like, let's say like a, Ted Bundy relished in that shit, you know, he was his own fucking lawyer.
Yep, he loved it.
Yeah. He loved that shit. He was charismatic, you know, and, you know, he liked to be in, you know, in the spotlight like that. Hanson was not that guy.
He didn't want his family drug through it.
He didn't want his family put through it because he had, what, two kids, two
yep.
girls?
And a wife.
And yeah, he was married. You don't hear a whole lot about that.
You don't hear anything about them.
Right. And that's how he wanted it. And he copped a plea deal type deal to keep him out of the fucking
yep.
chair, which Alaska did not have capital punishment.
No, he did. He told them that he would, if they would do that, that he would give them evidence.
He would show them where the
yeah.
bodies were. Now, they had a map.
Yeah, they found behind his
they
headboard.
They had an aerial map, a map that would be used by, you know, a pilot.
Mm-hmm.
And on there were X's all over the place. And that was kind of the straw that broke the fucking camel's back right there.
Mm-hmm.
Because when they brought that to his attention, he kind of broke down at that point.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't a long, drawn-out interrogation like, you know, we see on YouTube. And I love watching that shit.
Yeah.
Interrogations. It wasn't long and drawn out. No, and I think they may actually talk about this. So let's kind of... We'll get back to it. What in the bloody hell? All right.
Number 5. He kept track of where his victims' bodies were buried. Robert Hansen buried his victims in shallow graves on various sandbars in his favorite secluded spot in Alaska.
Maybe this
and
is
drew
it?
A big red X where each body is buried on a map.
Yep.
It was the beginning of the end for Hansen when the FBI were able to get their hands on his map after searching his home. Rather than freak out when the map was found, Hansen actually helped the feds find 12 of the bodies. Number 4. He probably killed more people than authorities believe.
Yeah,
it's important to remember when Hansen was arrested, America wasn't the nation of serial killer fanatics that we are now. In 1983, the year of his arrest, only Ted Bundy and John Wayne Gacy had been given national attention.
1983. Mm-hmm. I was 11 years old. 1983, A Christmas Story came out. I was 11 years old and you had Ralphie. That's what I remember about 1983. Mm-hmm. This was going on way up north, part of the U.S., but way up north.
Mm-hmm.
This guy was getting caught for burying fucking bodies and shit.
Yeah.
One body was found. I think it was one of the first ones. It was some off-duty officers, investigators and shit, and they were out hunting. They decided to call it a fucking day because it wasn't anything really happening. They stumble upon, they see a fucking part of a shoe.
Yep, and a knee.
And a knee. Can you imagine that? You're walking along, and then all of a sudden, you see part of a shoe, and you're like, oh, what was that, just a shoe? And then you look just a little bit over to one side or the other, and bam, there's like a knee with jeans.
Do you ever think about that when you're out at night and you trip over something?
Yes, I do. Oh, man, because I've spent a lot of time partying in a graveyard. I know that sounds...
I wouldn't say in a graveyard you're going to trip over a knee, because hopefully in a graveyard they're in coffins.
Oh, you may trip over a fucking knee in a graveyard. I'm just saying. All right, let's finish this video up. That's probably going to be the fucking show.
Richard Ramirez wouldn't be caught for another 2 years. And Dahmer, who is arguably the most popular serial killer, hadn't even begun making zombie love slaves yet. So when Hansen gave himself up and admitted to killing 17 women, the FBI accepted his answer and left it at that. But it's...
So he admits to killing mm-hmm. 17 fucking women.
Yep. Yeah.
Okay, and possibly more. Possibly, some say it could go upwards to 40 to 50.
Mm-hmm. And he raped
people.
A lot of women, too.
Yes. He didn't kill them.
Right. He let them go.
This is a guy that, like I said, like how I started this. When you say serial killer, you don't think Robert Hansen.
Mm-mm.
You think Dahmer, you think Bundy, you think Gacy, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Some would say.
Because they all made names for themselves.
Exactly.
They all put
they
themselves
were in the
out
public
there.
Eye,
but he wasn't.
He was not, and he is just as fucking brutal.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
It's likely that his body count is somewhere in the high 30s.
See?
Number 3. He had a favorite killing spot. The one thing you can always count on when it comes to serial killers is that they will be creatures of habit. Like
that's
any
right.
kind of addict, they have a ritual they observe, and while it may mutate over the years, it never fully changes. Hansen is no different. His main jam was to fly a woman to the Nick River northeast of Anchorage and park on one of the river's many sandbars.
Which is what he was going to do with Cindy.
Cindy.
Yeah, that's what he was going to do with her.
He would then go about his business and bury them on one of the sandbars. Number 2. Hansen didn't just hunt people, he raped them too. As if hunting women for sport and pleasure weren't bad enough.
Again, that is not fucking proven.
Right, like I said.
It makes perfect sense and is very plausible that this could be applied to him. I get it.
It just never came out that he did actually say it.
It has not been proven that this is what happened. Okay. So that's just where I stand, all right? Now, I don't want anybody, you just know where I stand here on this podcast. That's it's very plausible. It makes perfect fucking sense.
Just because it hasn't came out yet doesn't mean it's not proven.
That's true. All right, I get it.
He also sexually assaulted them. In many of the instances where he would rape a woman, Hansen would return the women to Anchorage and warn them not to tell anyone. Due to his
That is just dumb. Right?
Yeah.
You were dumb. You were so dumb. Okay, I'm going to rape you, and then, hey, you got to promise me you're not going to tell anyone.
Well, think about it. A lot of them didn't.
I know. They were. How could you be scared of them? How could you be scared of somebody that looks like a normal fucking everyday guy, a business owner?
Right.
How are you going to be scared of that? If you are raped by this person, you are brutalized by this person. Okay, scarred for life by this fucking person. And they tell you, oh, well, I'm going to drop you back off in town, but don't tell anyone I did this.
Huh?
That is some fucking confidence in somebody like that. I'm just saying that, I don't know, how do you do that? They did. Oh, fuck.
Election for preying on prostitutes, he was correct in thinking that even if the women went to police, it's not likely.
Yeah, like
that
they would get believed.
Right, exactly, because they're prostitutes. So he pretty much robbed them.
Yeah.
Okay, basically, he fucking raped them without paying first.
Yeah, I was going to say, he fucked them before without paying.
Without paying, which I guess constitutes a rape when it comes to a prostitute.
Right.
Because you got to pay first. So you stole that pussy.
Yeah.
It would be believed, especially since Hansen was viewed as an upstanding citizen who ran his own business. Number one, he hunted women through the Alaskan wilderness.
All right, here we go.
Yep, see what they say about it.
Let's see what they say.
All the serial killers you've heard about, Robert Hansen is easily the best hunter of them all. Hansen's modus operandi was to kidnap women, take them to the Alaskan wilderness, and hunt them like an animal. There's no word as to whether or not Hansen was a fan of Richard Connell's The Most Dangerous Game, a book about a Russian aristocrat hunting another man. He had to have read it, right? If not, that's some very intense parallel thinking.
All right. So, that's all they say about that.
Yeah. Like I said, we'd have to look it up to see if it ever has been, ever came out by any official that he did admit to actually doing that to this woman.
I mean, I fucking agree that this is very possible.
Yeah, I think it's possible.
Very, very possible. So,
I would see it happening.
I think that's about it. We're here in the rec room, here in the insane asylum.
Yep.
The our cells. Still being worked on. Where's AC? Hasn't been too bad here the past couple of days.
Mm-mm.
Not too terribly bad. The humidity.
It's down.
Can go fuck the right hasn't the been fuck that off. No, it hasn't been bad here lately. But white coats are telling us it's time the hell out of here.
Yep.
I thank you, Mrs. Dreads.
You're welcome.
This has been episode 79. We talked to Tinder. That went horribly wrong. We talked about Robert Hansen. We went through 15 facts you need to know about Robert Hansen. Mm-hmm. I had a good time.
Yeah.
I was looking forward to this.
I know you were.
It was fun.
It was.
Thanks again. We're going to get the fuck out of here.
Yep.
Talk to you next week.
I'm alone and scared. I lost my mommy. Can you help me? All I wanted to do was play with you. Please come and play with me. I'm so lonely. Why do you seem so scared? I know things no one knows. We're going to die.